We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Government Accountability Office, the GAO, came out, and they have kind of reprimanded the EPA, get a load of this, because they spent $43,000 to install a private phone booth in Pruitt's office, okay? And this was a report now obtained by ABC News Today here, and so the GAO says the EPA did not comply with the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Act by spending more than $5,000 on the phone booth without notifying Congress, because you have to get approval for these kinds of things. Now they're already, so this phone booth now, so I started thinking right away, what do they need a phone booth for? You know, I'm thinking, Dave, it's those old phone booths, you know,
where you, yeah, walk in, you know, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, actually, it's kind of something like that, because it's actually a secured phone booth, so he can have private and confidential conversations with the White House, probably to find out if he's in more trouble. He don't want the liberals to hear, because he's in a heap of trouble every other day, it seems. So evidently, that's what he spent the money on, but I guess he didn't get the proper approval. And this isn't the first go-around where he's been under heat here. What do you think about this story, Dave, this afternoon?
You know what? I think this shows how effective he has been, that he has garnered this much backlash, this much assault. And the whole thing is, let's be honest, there is no more dangerous position in the federal government today than being the EPA administrator, when you consider how deadly and dangerous the domestic terrorist groups are on behalf of our animals and our environment. These are radicals. They, for decades, Betsy and I have taught law enforcement, whenever we did domestic terrorism, about ALF and ELF, you know, the Animal Liberation Front, the Earth Liberation Front. They're notoriously violent and dangerous. Now you have a guy that's freeing us from the nitpicking EPA of the last administration. And what do you expect? These people are, they literally are terrorist groups, and he deserves all the protection he gets. And the fact that he wants an Agent Smart like cone of silence in his office makes perfect sense.
Wow. You know, that is a really, I love the way you took that and ran with it right there and showed that he must be doing some effective stuff. Betsy, do you have the same sentiments as that, what Dave's saying, that he must be being effective or something as to why he's under heat?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he, you know, a week or two ago when there was concerns about his use of security, and even Trey Gowdy got into the fray and said, oh, if this guy has to fly first class so that people aren't mean to him, then he needs to get another job. Trey Gowdy clearly, and probably most of America, doesn't understand how dangerous these green groups are. These are not people who, you know, are just gentle environmentalists. These are people that are responsible for the injuries and sometimes the deaths of loggers and of medical researchers, and they're dangerous. And yes, Scott Pruitt is getting things done, and he is draining the swamp for the EPA, and that's why everyone is going after him so vehemently. And as usual, the Republicans do what? Make their circular firing squad, and let's go after our own. Let's go after a guy who's actually effective. It's ridiculous.
Well, on most days, you both would agree, you really can't tell the Democrats apart from the Republicans when it comes to these kinds of things, obviously. This is where the administration is battling both the right and the left, you see? Yeah.
Right. And this is kind of an unusual political environment because it's not always that way, but this time it is that way. Let me tell you what folks are saying out there about what we're talking about right now about Scott Pruitt. One of the tweets I'm reading here says, Barack Obama spends $1.5 billion cash to our sworn enemy, speaking of Iran, the regime of Iran, and liberals scream it was their money, but at the same time cry about Scott Pruitt's $43,000 phone booth, you know. And then this guy ends up, this tweet says, moral standards and liberalism are like water and oil. That's some of the comments coming out here. Scott Pruitt's $43,000 phone booth is insane, unless that thing turns you into Superman. Now, maybe that's why he's got that, guys. Maybe he turns
maybe
into
so.
A... Yeah, could be. I don't know. So
I think, frankly, they need to take the prototype of this soundproof phone booth mm-hmm. that's in Scott Pruitt's office, yeah. and there needs to be one in the White House in every every cabinet member's yeah. office. Yeah. This is the leaks in Washington, D.C. are out of control. And again, instead of going on, you know, Trey Gowdy getting on Twitter and getting on Fox and all this and saying, oh, this guy needs to go. He needs to get on those same platforms and say, hey, you know why this guy has to do this? Because the leaks are out of control and we're trying to drain the swamp.
Yeah, that's interesting when you say they should all invest in a phone booth. Maybe I should invest in one, Betsy. Here, I could do the radio right from the phone booth, maybe. You know, maybe that'd be the way to do it. I don't know. But it could be interesting. I don't know. You know, the days of those old phone booths, it's an image that many of us still remember, having to put, you know, the change in your pocket. It used to be 10 cents, I think, at one time. I don't want to date myself, yep. Guys. But it was pretty cheap for a phone call, right? one part yep, of the yep. time. But, well, also, turn this afternoon here. You see that California, like, this is not like a real big surprise at all, but they've rejected the federal government's initial plans for the National Guard troops at the border. And this has been talked about the last few days or so, that he was going to do this, Governor Brown. So at first, there was reports last week, if you remember seeing the reports, Betsy, David, I know you guys follow California politics out there, too. If you remember, there were reports that Brown was going to sort of, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing where he was going to work with Trump. He was never going to work with Trump, clearly, you know. But he said, yeah, when he asked for National Guard troops and all the states said, yeah, they'll give you troops to send to the border, Brown said, yeah, but we'll give you some troops, but they're not going to be able to do everything you want them to do. In fact, they're going to do nothing you want them to do. So what's the purpose of the troops at that point? That's kind of how this thing started last week with Governor Brown. So now they've rejected the plans entirely. And he says that they're not going to get involved in fighting, you know, securing any of the border. They're not going to get involved in the drug stuff or any of that. So what's the point of this, guys? What's the point of this, Dave? What, you know?
Well, this is one of the problems. The politics of safety, and we live right on the border. So obviously this is of concern to us. And tragically, we're caught in the Ninth Circuit Court, that circus of a mockery.
Oh, yeah.
Of justice that with which is dominated by California politics and social aspect. But the problem is this, you know, think where what would have happened in segregation had the National Guard been at the command of governors instead of presidents to desegregate schools, you know. And this is the thing. This does not belong to a governor. This belongs to our president.
Exactly.
And our whole country. We have got to reframe people, and again, it's because social studies is more about procedural justice than the Constitution in schools today. But the Constitution gives the president very clear control over our borders and over immigration, period. And this is where a lot of this stuff, Obama shredded all the lines between them, and Congress sat mute for 8 years. Now they're hysterical over things that are even within.
Well, this is a complete political agenda is all it is. I mean, and they're not the only state, but California is the most prominent state that's doing this. Yeah, it is indeed. And they're fighting, like you say, the feds. But now what's interesting about the California thing, and we've been talking and reporting about this on the platform here, is that, you know, a lot of these communities now are starting to turn. What was it? The first community to do it, was it Alamitos? What's it? Los Alamitos? What's it?
Los Alamitos.
Yeah, right. Was the first one, right? And then they started.
And now you
to
got San Diego County. You got all that.
You got a bunch of them now that are Orange. Going against the state. How many are there now? Do you know? It's quite a few, isn't there? That are...
Oh, there's at least a half a dozen. And some are, a couple of the larger counties right. are jumping in there. And because they're tired of it. You know, I've trained a bunch of the, Dave and I both, a bunch of the Border Patrol on the Southern California border. I've done ride-alongs. You know, it's really remote down there. And Brown isn't going to even let the National Guard go down there to help repair vehicles or to do electronic surveillance. He's going to provide no support for those agents. They're already shorthanded, those agents. You know, it's dangerous. And it mocks law enforcement. Of course, it mocks federal law, which is what he wants to do. He ultimately wants to mock President Trump. But he also, you know, California is a huge military state. We have many bases there. There's lots of military families there. And what Brown is doing, one of the things he's doing is he's demoralizing our men and women that have been assigned to help out at the border. And he's telling them, nope, you can't do it. Can't do anything.
Well, but finally, we're starting to see the state, the citizens of the state are starting to strike back, which is what we've been talking about, Betsy, Dave. You've heard me talk about that on many of our shows here. At some point, the residents have got to stand up. I mean, they've got to take it back. And clearly, we're starting to see some of that now. Also, of course, you've been hearing, I know we got to talk about this, guys. I know you don't want to, James Comey. And the interview. Well, first of all, let me ask you both, because I don't know. Did you watch the interview last night?
No, we couldn't. We couldn't stomach it. We barely watched any kind of network.
Really? Cool.
News.
So you did not watch it. All right.
We watched the clips. We read. Who watches that trash? It's just trash. It's like reality TV.
Yeah.
It's just trash.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Well, okay. So, but I'm sure you're seeing the reports today and everything. And, of course, Kellyanne Conway has a few things to say. The president, of course, had plenty to say. The interview was entirely lame, if many of you out there watched this thing. And, you know, it was one of those things that I didn't want to watch it, but, of course, I had to talk about it early this morning. Mm-hmm. I knew we'd be talking about it today. I had to watch it. And the worst part about it, I have, in full disclosure to you both, so I had, it was a pretty busy weekend for me, and I was busy the entire day, guys. And so I had got to that point of the evening and had put a movie on and not only that, but it was a good night because I had female company, you understand? And so I'm watching the movie and stuff, and then, of course, it comes up to that magic time, and I had to put Comey on. And she says, you're not going to put that on, are you? I said, well, yeah, I got to put it on. I got to report on this tomorrow. I got to know what they're talking about, right? Not that I want to do it. She said, oh, come on. And, of course, the movie, there's about a half hour left of this really riveting action drama film we're watching, right? Which I don't ever get a chance to watch the movie, so I'm watching this movie and say, so what do I do? Do I turn Comey on? So I succumbed to my news part of me, and I turned Comey on. She kind of gave me a frown. Anyway, you know how that goes, right? And so I turned Comey on. We start to watch the program there, and it was one of the most lamest interviews I have ever seen. And she started laughing like hell about the whole thing. And I was just looking at it all and just couldn't believe much of the back and forth between Stephanopoulos and Comey. And a lot of his answers to some of these things were, it appeared to be a comedy show, or it appeared to be an interview. It was like a television interview that was being conducted by, really, truly, the National Enquirer. Or what's that other Hollywood group? Is it TCM? What's that group out there? TMX?
TMZ.
TMZ, yeah.
Think about the more. I mean, you're a journalist and you have ethics.
Right.
Think about the ethical implications of having Hillary Clinton's former chief of staff be the guy interview James Comey, the guy that was supposedly investigating.
Well, we call that All in the Family, Betsy. That's what we call that.
Yeah.
That's All in the Family.
And,
well, all right.
And Comey goes on and on and gushes about how, you know, you're talking about a woman in your life. He's talking about the women in his life, his wife and daughter, and how they all just wanted Hillary to win so bad and they worked for her campaign. Then why, if that was true, then why didn't James Comey recuse himself from any part of that investigation?
That's an interesting question, a point you bring up, because he certainly talks about this higher moral ethics and standards. He comes across like he thinks he really is Jesus Christ, in all frankness with you all. I know I'm being a little smart with that answer, but that's the way
Christ was a 13-year-old girl. You know, this guy is the most butthurt, little child I've ever seen.
He really is. Well, and not only that, but ABC and Stephanopoulos worked right into it. It's like, okay, stay right there, folks. We'll be right back. You've got to wait for the riveted conclusion. So finally, let me just tell you before we pause here a sec. So what I did, guys, so I looked over and she looks at me, do we really have to watch this crap? And honest to God, this really happened. And we were about maybe 35 minutes into it, Betsy, right? About 35 minutes into it, right? And I looked and I said, and it was so lame and so bad. I said, you know what? I've had enough. I said, no, let's put the movie back on. We'll watch the action drama thing. We turned Comey off 35 minutes in, turned the movie back on and said, okay, it's all good, man. So anyways, I didn't see the end of it. Very, very weak. Well, listen, friends, there's a lot more to talk about on this Comey thing. I can tell you that. Also, we've got a few other things we're following this afternoon. Some things I want to share with you about ISIS have been shared with me today. I want to discuss that. Also, boycott with Starbucks was trending all weekend. I want to touch on that as well. Very, very interesting. Another boycott ordered from that David Hogg kid, that activist at the Parkland student. Be anxious to get both Betsy and Dave their thoughts on that. And, of course, our dear friend there, Stormy Daniels. She's down there doing a strip tease down in Florida, I guess. And that caught some news down in South Florida there. Dave, was you there by chance at that, the strip tease in South Florida? No.
Man,
you weren't in town, were you?
Missed it, I guess.
Careful how you answer.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, don't put me in a trick bag.
Oh, I know. I forgot, friends. I forgot, Dave. I forgot we had your wife on, Betsy. But anyways, Betsy, oh boy. All right, so Betsy, let me get Dave to start first. Dave, you take the 15 seconds, please. Tell folks who you guys are, please, who you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm a retired law enforcement officer, trainer, speaker. Betsy, my wife and I travel all over the country doing law enforcement training. I've been doing law enforcement training nationally since back in the early 80s, and that's our life goal, is to make law enforcement officers safer and better.
Yeah. You guys, I envy both of you. There's a couple of married couples we have on the platform here, and I envy you guys so much because you're doing what you love to do, and you're doing it together. And there's no better gift than that, I think. Isn't that right, Betsy, as I elbow you, correct?
It is. I'll tell you what. It's a lot of fun.
Most days,
yes. And but yeah, we do have a good time together, and we love law enforcement. We love our crime fighters. They're helping keep this nation safe, and we're here for them.
Yeah, they are indeed here. And so Sergeant Betsy Smith, Dave Smith, more nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let's go to the most important story right now that's really bothering me today, guys. And that's this Starbucks boycott. What's going on here? Now, I noticed this thing started to trend like I think it was early Saturday we noticed. It was trending on social media and on Twitter and a lot of social media. And hashtag boycott Starbucks. And it never left. It was on there for the entire weekend. So I knew they pissed in somebody's cornflakes because, you know, when you get that sort of a boycott, that's kind of what happens. So evidently what we know about this is, and the CEO has already spoke out about this as well. So there were two black gentlemen in the store, the coffee shop there in Philadelphia, we believe it was an outlet in Philadelphia. And they were waiting for a friend to show, and they hadn't ordered anything yet. But somehow or another, the only story we have is that the barista, I guess, or somebody behind the counter, as far as I understand, Betsy and Dave, called the authorities, and they came, and they have videos of it. People were shooting and arrested the two guys and took them away. The CEO, Kevin Johnson, came out. He apologized for the incidents. He promised a thorough investigation. All right, Betsy, what do we have that's going wrong here? I know you're all over this story. What do we What else do we not know about this thing?
Well, these two gentlemen came in and they were sitting there. They hadn't made a purchase. They're playing with their phones. The manager actually says to them, "Hey guys, you can't hang out or use the restroom or anything unless you make a purchase." So they made a fuss, and the manager apparently got scared, called the police. The police come. The manager says these two are trespassing, so the police arrest them. The police are doing their job. And now there's witnesses who are coming forward and saying, "Well, I saw a white guy use the bathroom. Nobody made him buy anything. And I was sitting next to a white guy who didn't make a right. purchase for 30 minutes." Right. And of course, no one has a video of any of this stuff. But now there's a big boycott in the Philadelphia. Starbucks was shut down today because of protests.
Oh, that wait a minute. That Starbucks in Philadelphia was shut down?
Yes,
that just happened? I didn't know that.
Shut down just not too long ago and they had, police officers there because, right. you know, which I don't understand, you know, why did Starbucks need police officers there if it was a peaceful protest and people were just trying to get their point across? So see, I've boycotted Starbucks for years because they're very anti-Second Amendment and they're anti-law enforcement. They don't like law enforcement very often in their stores, especially in the bigger cities. And so now we have this. So now all of a sudden they're afraid of protesters. So the Philadelphia Police Department had to have special plainclothes officers there today from their like relations office.
Right.
And but the police had nothing to do with it.
The police are not part of the story that I know of.
Well,
I mean,
but yeah, you know, people are trying to make the police.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
And remember, the police superintendent in Philadelphia is a black guy. And he's like, "We didn't do anything wrong.
No.
My cops are just jobs." But I find this, as a conservative, delicious, Malcolm and Dick. Because when the left starts to eat their own, I get a good old cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee and I just watch.
Well, I actually like Dunkin' Donuts coffee better if we're talking real coffee here.
You stop going to Starbucks, Malcolm. Dunkin' Donuts is where.
Well, I'm not prejudiced against either. Whatever's closest, I buy. I'll be honest with you. I love coffee, and I don't really. My wallet doesn't care where I go, and my stomach doesn't either. Although I do prefer Dunkin' Donuts coffee for the taste a little bit better, quite frankly. But I don't mind Starbucks coffee, but it's all expensive no matter how you slice it. All right, Dave, so I don't think this was from what I could see, and I followed this story all weekend long as I was looking at, there was a lot of sarcasm on social media about, as you said, Betsy, about the white people, about saying, "Well, I'm going to watch, and when I see some white people out there, I'm going to call the cops and have them arrested because they didn't buy anything." Yeah, I was hearing that throughout those couple of few days there, that was ongoing, but you always get those kinds of things. The worst part about these things, they want to make it into race all the time. But this one here, was this about race? If they wouldn't let them use the bathroom, and they were, what's the deal? Why did the manager call? I don't understand. I'm really befuddled with this story. Why did the manager call the authorities, Dave? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
Well, the way I understand it, from the way some of it's written, is they weren't actually just two gentlemen sitting around. They were on their phones. They were wanting to use the bathroom. And here's the deal. You know, a business has a right to say, you know, you're not allowed to just loiter in my business. And the choice is, so often, is that you comply. You can comply with the business owner. Then you can comply with the police. But this tendency we're seeing now more and more to resist lawful commands of law enforcement, to resist lawful commands of businesses, and then scream race, you know, this, what it does, it blurs the lines of rationality,
and
it becomes very difficult.
It's very disturbing to me when that happens. I cringe every time, Betsy, when they start doing that. But let me ask you, Betsy, just answer me straight out. Should the manager have called the authorities on these two cats that were there, do you think?
Well, from what I read, if he told them that, you have to order something and the restroom is only for paying customers, and they didn't comply with either of those, then yes, that's his right. And I've read some media accounts that these guys were unruly. I've seen some of the videos. And
yeah, I don't see them unruly. You know, I haven't seen any videos that show them unruly.
Yeah,
but I was wondering.
Listen,
Betsy, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop on this thing. I figured there was another side to the story, unless the manager is a complete buffoon. You understand? And so all weekend long and on Sunday specifically, I was waiting for the other shoe to see if somebody else had another video and what these cats were doing. But Betsy, let me ask you this. I mean, couldn't it possibly be, maybe the manager is a racist. Let's be honest here and talk a minute here. I assume the manager was a white guy, or was he a white guy, or was he a black guy? Do we even know that? I mean, assume he was a white guy if they're making this into race. What if he is racist?
If he is racist, then obviously Starbucks has to deal with that. And they're already talking about implicit bias training and this and that. But here's the thing. You can't, like Dave said, if you go into a business and you don't purchase anything and you want to use the facilities and that's against the rules and you're told to leave and you don't, that's called trespassing. The manager was within his right to call the police and say, look, these guys don't want to leave. I don't know what else to do.
You know,
so everybody was within their right except the two guys who didn't do what they were asked to do.
Right,
because you're black doesn't mean you get to hang out and don't have to follow the rules. And this is what no one will talk about.
Got it. You know, you sound like you're actually coming across like a police officer and the way you're talking and presenting this, Betsy. What's going on, man? You know, Dave, it's like, I mean, listen, legally, everything you just said is accurate. Everything you just said, I get. I understand. You're totally right, Betsy. Every business has the right and the prerogative to do exactly what this man did. Totally get it. But let me say to you, there's a big caveat here. And talk to me on this, guys. But the caveat is this. This is a freaking coffee shop. This is what people do. Now, I got to tell you what, if you started to survey every coffee shop, Dunkin' Donuts, or every independent coffee shop in the nation to find out how many people were sitting there on a computer or a thing or doing something and didn't make a purchase yet, and they didn't throw them out of the place, the numbers would be astronomical.
Right. It'd
be in the stratosphere. I mean, this is what people do at coffee shops. And many times they don't even make a purchase. They just shoot the breeze. Now, Betsy, your point is, the manager still has the prerogative, and you're exactly right, that he or she does have the prerogative. But and I don't discount that, Dave, Betsy. I really don't. But it sounds to me like this manager might have had an extra. Maybe these cats were in before. Maybe they have pissed him off before. That's possible, Betsy, right? That's possible, right?
Well, sure. And, right. And you know, the manager's no longer employed.
Oh, they got rid of him? What do you mean?
He didn't get fired. What they happened? Left with a mutual agreement. He and Starbucks have now parted ways. The CEO of Starbucks says he's going to travel to Philadelphia to meet with these two gentlemen and apologize.
Well, he'll have to, because right now he's got egg all over his face. But listen, when you say that the manager is no longer there, they parted ways, you know what this means, Betsy. That means that next Sunday night we're going to have an exclusive interview on CBS or ABC for this guy who's going to sit there now, and that's going to be the big national thing we're going to talk about next Sunday. Right, guys?
Well, and you know, and I find all this just it's nonsensical. This is, and you know what? If you want to protest Starbucks and boycott them and all that, yay, go for it. But follow the rules, and B, leave the police out of this.
Well, legally, you're right. Legally, you're right. Everything you're saying is correct, and leave the police. And I don't think the police are the big conversation here today that I see, Dave. I mean,
Malcolm, look on social media.
All right.
Yeah, the police are getting blamed. And here's the thing, Malcolm, and I just got to tell you, you know, you brought up a point. If you're going to sit there in a coffee shop and be on your computer quietly or reading your USA Today, no one's going to bother you.
Right.
Which makes me lead to believe, number one, the odds of a Starbucks manager being a flaming racist are about 1 in 10 billion. Okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Anybody who knows Starbucks, its clientele, its management, knows that these are not people who go looking for confrontation. These are not you know, the kind of people that you're going to see at a white supremacist rally. These are the kind of people you'd see at a counter demonstration. And so you're telling me this guy, out of the just self-generated hostility, wanted these two black men to leave. Right. The question in my mind as a cop is, why did he get so concerned that he did call the police?
Exactly.
And then why didn't those gentlemen leave when the police came? You know, all of us in law enforcement have been called to an individual trespassing or a disturbance call. You arrive. Normally, you talk to the subjects who are involved, and they leave. No problem, no resistance, no concern.
Right.
Which leads me to believe we're hearing 1/100th of the story, and it's the 1/100th that the propagandists at ABC and NBC want us to know.
Right. Well, listen, I don't discount anything you just said, which is why I said, Dave, a moment ago, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop on the rest of the last half part of the weekend. I was waiting to see the other videos or whatever anybody had of what the other story was, because there's always another side to the story. Unless this guy is just a complete racist, as you just said, he potentially isn't. We really don't know what he is. I find it is a private matter. Betsy, you're spot on when you say it's a private matter, 100%. It's a matter that the Starbucks CEO, Kevin Johnson, who is, by the way, nothing but a buffoon, which has nothing to do with this story. He's just a regular everyday buffoon. If you follow the track record of Starbucks, mm-hmm. this guy has said more stupid stuff and opened his mouth more so many times that I'm kind of I guess I'm, you know what, when you were saying this was delicious 10 minutes ago, Betsy, I knew you weren't talking about the coffee there. Now I understand what was delicious. It kind of, because you're poking fun at the Kevin Johnson and the Starbucks, they're getting a little bit of their own medicine, huh?
Oh, I love it. I just love watching this. And we're seeing this more and more where the left attacks its own, the left eats its own. And because now everyone is so super sensitive that there's no room for any debate. There's no room for any mistakes. There's just no room for any of that nonsense.
It's what they're creating, Betsy, out there, I guess. So in any event, so listen, just for the record, people, I'm not boycotting Starbucks. I'm not boycotting Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not boycotting any of the independent shops that have coffee. I'm an open, equal guy here. I don't really care, man. So I don't bring my politics with my coffee, Dave, Betsy. I don't really care. No. And Starbucks, again, just because he's a buffoon doesn't mean I'm over this whole thing about boycott this one, that one. It doesn't matter to me. None of this is going to, well, I guess for some people it will change their day. But listen, while we're talking about the left and idiots, I want to talk to you about Parkland a moment here, the student there, activist. I got to be careful because they'll start to, put a spell on me or something. But David Hogg there. So he's now, so listen to this. Now, if there was any question about what this kid was doing, if any of you out there at all had any qualms in your mind or any thoughts as to what this kid was up to and why, you know, he was trying to get all these followers now and become this really big celebrity, if you will, going after Laura Ingraham and the Fox people and everything else. We'll put that to rest right now. So he comes out and he now teases everybody. He says he's teasing another boycott. Now, this is what happens now. And he says here, his words in a tweet, I'm going to announce another boycott this week. Stay tuned. Now, this is again, David Hogg, the high school senior here. He tweeted this along with a gif there of a nervous Kermit the Frog to play on the whole thing. And this was launching after the other launch of the boycott against Laura Ingraham, which, by the way, they say her numbers are up higher than normal, Betsy, Dave, is what I hear. Now, she did lose a bunch of advertisers, but they'll replace them or they'll have others come back. But I'm hearing her numbers are higher than they were before the incident happened. Isn't that kind of ironic, huh? And the way people have looked at this program. But what do you think about this and this kid here who's now teasing this up for another boycott there? It kind of shows his stripes that all he really wants is publicity and to be a superstar, isn't it?
Well, I got to tell you, from my perspective, and I know Betsy and I talk about this guy a lot because I know the left thinks he is some kind of rock star, but his hubris, his contemptuous attitude, and you know what, that's you know if all you want to do is denigrate my perspective and my aspect, then why would I listen to you? That's not a debate and it's not even a discussion. He's just demanding and denigrative. It's almost infantile, and I
got what they all do today, Dave.
That is the left, exactly. Yeah.
They're all doing it. I mean, you just can't have a conversation today and have another opinion without somebody cutting your head off, you know?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's the way it is. But see, that's kind of what I like to do. You know, Betsy, I think you have to give a little credit, at least. That's what I enjoy so much about media is diverse opinions, quite frankly. And I love to get everybody to the table. I don't agree with most of the people that I talk to on a daily basis, but that doesn't mean I can't have respect for them, right? I mean, I don't have to be we don't have to be idiots to each other, do we? Right?
Well, no, we don't. But I mean, this is, you know, that's because you're a conservative. You know, the left needs to be idiots to anyone that disagrees with them. And David Hogg has been taught well by whoever it is that's mentoring him. And so
Well, they
now
say George
he,
Soros is mentoring him. I don't know.
well,
There's somebody in that group,
yeah,
they
it
say.
wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know.
And so now he's calling for another boycott, and
We
it's
don't know
another
against
Fox
who
News.
yet. We don't know. Oh, they
No,
say
no,
it could
no.
be a. Actually, there was speculation that it would probably. Somebody speculated. I don't know where I seen this. That it might. That they thought it might be against the president of Fox News or somebody at Fox or whatever.
Right, I
Somebody
saw
else.
that.
Okay.
Abernathy, or he
Abernathy.
might
Yeah.
be going
Yeah.
after Sean Hannity.
Oh, I
Well,
don't
you
think
know
he
what?
won't win
Who?
against Sean Hannity. There's no way he's going to win
He
against
didn't win
Hannity.
against Laura
No,
Ingraham,
he didn't. You're right. You're right.
and
Well, they feel
actually,
like they won, though. They feel like they won, but they
well,
didn't, right?
because they're children, like most my like most liberals, they have the mentality of a 14-year-old child. I mean, this is, you know, we let's go back to James Comey. That whole interview was like interviewing David Hogg.
Right.
You know, it was a it was childish and inappropriate.
Yeah,
And
it was a,
that
yeah.
is the left, childish and
Well,
inappropriate.
you see a lot of that out there today. Listen, I want to take a moment too and touch on the fact that the Boston Marathon was today. I just want folks to remember and say a prayer for these people today as well. It was 5 years ago that five people were killed, and I covered this story pretty heavy when it happened. And that young boy Richard that died. There was again five people were killed, but I remember the young boy. You know who I'm speaking about, Betsy
Oh,
James Richard.
absolutely.
Yeah. And what a little hero he was. He had posters up before then talking about peace in the world and all. He just, you know, that young man, it was a metaphor for me in my life. He meant so much. And I remember, in fact, I put him on my brink of greatness, one of my good news stories about people who are doing good in the world. And this was a young kid who was what, like really just in elementary. I don't remember his exact age, but he was a young kid. And before this ever happened, he just wanted peace in the world. And remember all the photos of him with the signs up on the posters, guys, and calling
Sure,
for peace. And it
absolutely.
was amazing, man. Anyways, he was one of the five that were killed, and when the those when the terrorist attacked the Boston Marathon, of course. Well, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, they have they lay wreaths Sunday on the spots near Boylston Street in Boston, where the two bombs killed the spectators. And so, you know, again, this was the 122nd Boston Marathon Patriots Day. It's always a big holiday. Holiday in Boston. More nozzle friends in just a moment. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. And then this one here has a man pictured standing on the platform of New York's High Street Brooklyn Bridge station with explosives and a timer behind him. And the poster includes the threat, "You will not expect where we will attack," meaning they're going to attack next or what have you. Again, this is a campaign of propaganda and fear. But it is a reminder that we have to be on our best, Dave. I mean, we can't take a chance with these. I got to tell you, Dave, Betsy, I think the tunnels, I think the bridges, I think it's a major target in these cities, not just in New York, because New York is prime center for this kind of a thing because of the symbolic nature of New York, you know, and
Right.
what it stands for in that city. But any big city. I think this is what these cats are trying to target, but we kind of can't change our way of life, but we also have to be diligent. And I think this really makes it harder for law enforcement and officers everywhere. I mean, how do they keep up with this stuff, Dave? What's the future look like with this?
Well, I'll say this. Since 9/11, we have studied this, we've analyzed it. I've done many, Betsy and I both have done many programs regarding the terrorist threats in the United States. Is we're a free and open society. We must never surrender that. And this is why the people have to maintain their awareness, which the media refuses to do. You don't even see Islamic terrorists anymore on TV hardly. And this is the thing that frustrates me, is that they eventually always turn the plot around to contradict it. But yes, New York, every major metropolitan area is full of easy targets, mass groupings, bottlenecks, and the weapon systems, as we saw in Boston on this anniversary this week, we saw that you could take a simple kitchen implement and turn it into a deadly explosive. And I'm going to tell you, since the early 2000s, Al-Qaeda and ISIS have been putting out through a multitude of different resources how to make bombs, how to attack with a vehicle, how to attack with a car, and trying to urge their people to do these lone wolf attacks. So we've got to raise our public's awareness, because that's the only way. Simply don't have enough cameras and enough police.
And one of the problems we're having is, and we saw this with the Boston bombing, with the Sarnoff brothers, political correctness is now superseding good federal law enforcement work. And we saw this in the Pulse nightclub, which, again, nobody wants to talk about the Pulse nightclub and what happened there. Now we find out the FBI lied, and the shooter's father was an FBI informant, and of course a big supporter of Hillary Clinton. But we have got to get back to doing.
Betsy, keep that information quiet. Shut up. Don't tell people that. What the hell's the matter with you? Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead. Say what you were saying.
Political correctness and this appetite that the public seems to have in the United States to coddle Islam and Islamists has got to stop, or we're going to continue to have these terror attacks. And it's not just going to be firearms, but like you said, it's going to be pipe bombs and pressure cooker bombs and a rented truck on a sidewalk. And we've got to get back to reality when it comes to ISIS and radical Islam. But I'll tell you what, Trump once again has kept another promise. He does have Al-Qaeda, or he does have ISIS on the run. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what he's doing on that.
This was never going to be an easy job. It's never going to be an easy job, because they're not just in that area. They're all over Africa as well. They're throughout the world. And of course, these cats, they look at everything as a long-term strategy. They don't look at it as a quick hit to the next election like we do. You understand?
Right.
And that's a big difference as to why the war on terror is so hard to fight, because these cats are in it for the long term. They know what they're doing, and they've dispersed. Right now, they're trying to take the continent of Africa over. They're in a lot of these countries in Africa, I'm telling you. That's going to be one of the biggest hot spots we're going to have to worry about. The Boko Haram in Nigeria is a big problem, but it's throughout Africa, actually. And that's going to be a bigger problem than the Middle East down the road here, because nobody's monitoring that, or it's real hard to monitor, let's say that. I mean, there's a lot of open ground in Africa, guys. You know, you can buy land pretty cheap out there, Dave. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. You just hit it right on the head. When we had the caliphate that had a physical, geographical Islamic state, mm-hmm. that was, they were drawn to it from all over the world.
That's right.
Now that we have crushed that in a really, like you said, an incredibly short time, remarkably quick, they've been dispersed, and you're seeing these calls for these guys to get active by their leadership. And again, you look at England, you look at all these countries that are tracking all these returning ISIS fighters, but they're not incarcerated. They're on the streets of London, they're the streets of Berlin, the streets of Stockholm, and some are coming back to the United States. And I hope the FBI is doing their job and we're finding out about these guys.
Yeah. Well, I think the FBI, they're real busy right now defending themselves, Dave. I hate to report to you, but they're on such a hot seat right now. I don't know what any of them are doing. They seem to be spending all their time with that. And speaking of which, I got to tell you guys, to think I lost 40 minutes of my life, 35 minutes exactly, Betsy, of my life to watch this. I thought, you know, and of course, ABC, they're so ridiculous. I mean, they're... We'll be right back with the interview. I mean, you thought this is the way this whole thing was marketed, guys. And we were sold a package of you-know-what, and it smelt like you-know-what. Is getting ready to go to commercial, Dave. It's like, The explosive answers that could change everything. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The magic bullet they always want.
Oh, man, the explosive answers. I was waiting for the answer, but it never came, Dave. I mean, what? This was just... Oh, and by the way, just for the record, people, a lot of people were smart, like you two were, by the way, and did not tune in. In fact, a lot of people, I'm finding more and more every day, guys, are letting they're getting rid of cable and television entirely. I'm getting so many people that are reaching out to the platform saying, listen, we just, thank God we got you over there because you're about all we're listening to or knowing about because we've traded our cable and our television in and we don't do it anymore. Isn't that crazy?
People are just... We're one of those people. We are, despite our advanced age, we have cut the cord, if you will, with cable news.
Wow.
And because it's pointless to have 600 channels and there's nothing to watch but Friends reruns.
And that's so good because you two are two of the most informed people that we would possibly know or interact with. I mean, it's nothing you don't know anything. I mean, you're on top of everything that's going on. So that's a lesson to all of us. You really don't need cable or television to be on top of it is what you're saying, guys, you know? Let me just tell folks then. One of the best comments, by the way, I got to share with you today that I heard came from John Ratcliffe, the congressman from Texas, right, guys? Not too far from where you are, right?
Sure.
And he had the best analysis of the Comey thing. Do you know what he said? He said it was a sad, televised therapy session.
Well,
exactly.
This is the same James Comey who testified before Congress and nearly had tears in his eyes a few months ago and talked about, it just made him sick to his stomach and et cetera, et cetera. This guy is a man-child. I'm embarrassed. I get very angry.
Man-child. I love that. A man-child. But didn't they have that in the Jungle Book, the man-child? Wasn't that what he was?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but that guy was a stud, that guy.
I like Jungle Book. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, and I get frustrated on social media when people refer to him as he was America's top cop. He is an embarrassment to law enforcement. He was never a cop.
America's top bullshit artist.
And, you know, I feel so bad for the FBI agents, the boots on the ground out there who really are trying to get some actual police work done. They can't do it because now this guy is in the media constantly. This is it's so unseemly. This just
is. All right. The biggest claim that he made, by the way, that you guys know, he says the president is morally unfit to be president. He's mentally okay, but morally unfit. And Dave, what I'm thinking is, who the hell is morally fit in Washington to be anything? I mean, who would even come on, Dave. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Huh? You know, and amazingly, you know, it's funny because Betsy and I were talking about this. This guy, as he's coming back to the forefront, this guy is absolutely, he betrays loyalties. He's a man. If you know, they had this play in New York where they had Donald Trump as Julius Caesar and they were doing Shakespeare in the
park. I remember
that. Well, I'll tell you, James Comey would have been the Cassius if anybody ever read Shakespeare's. Cassius is the main conspirator, the ultimate betrayer.
That's his role,
and that is him. He is Cassius, the slime ball of all the senators in the play. And yet, in our government, here's the guy that claimed to be the head law enforcement. We sat there with our mouths open when he finished. He gave every element of the crime that Hillary Clinton was guilty of, and in the end, he says, well, there's no prosecutor would take this case. We just nearly, we were just amazed. We thought he was about to say, and we're going to indict her. And instead he says, no prosecutor would take this case. Right then he disgraced the FBI, and every cop in this country knew all the elements are complete. You would arrest on probable cause, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well, Kellyanne Conway was trending through a good part of the day, and because of a lot of the comments, and because she said the president is very confounded that this person is always able to divert the spotlight to him. This was what Conway was telling the one of the news chiefs at the Stephanopoulos and Company here. You know, Stephanopoulos, he's a little douchebag, I have to tell you. I mean, I don't know if that's proper to say or not, Betsy. Is that not? Probably not.
It's one of my favorite phrases, Malcolm.
Yes, is it? I'll be darned. Well, he does come across, though, as a douchebag, doesn't he, Betsy? I mean, talk to me.
Yes. He just... He's so smarmy and inappropriate, and he's weak. He's one of the things he talked about is how he's taller than Trump and all that. He is one of the
Weakest, Stephanopoulos or the other dude?
I'm talking about Comey.
He's a short shit.
No, Stephanopoulos is shorter than me.
Yeah,
you know?
He's short. Yeah. But what's he like 3'6" or 3'7"?
Oh
like
my
that?
Lord! And he just you just see him every time I see him on TV. All I can think about is he and James Carville. Hillary, vast right-wing conspiracy. Let's say it together, all that. Yeah. And he's just such a smart man.
Didn't Carville, is he the same guy who did the Mr. Clean commercials? Remember Mr. Clean? Mr. Clean, I'm out to clean your thing, right?
Mr. Clean's actually handsome. Oh. Let's correct that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Carville is
Carville, yeah, he's got stuff hanging from his teeth. Whatever's going on there, I don't know. We're getting a little personal here, guys. Got to watch that here. But So I guess, well, let me just tell folks this. So here's the good news about the Comey thing. And by the way, his book is going to fall flat, guys, because you know why? I don't think the entire conservative movement is going to buy that book. I know I'm not. I am not buying that piece of garbage. There's no way you would get me to part with anything to buy that. But let me tell you, the numbers were not good on that interview. You know, did you see the numbers on this, guys?
Yeah, no. It was nothing.
He only averaged 9.8 million viewers. I mean, yeah. Stormy alone, she got like 22 million, and she didn't even have to spread her legs for that.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's, I know.
This is what Stephanopoulos wanted. He wanted to beat the 60 Minutes Stormy interview. And people are exhausted. People are tired of this. And yet, and I woke up this morning to what? President Trump has his highest approval rating this year.
Yeah.
Even after all that whole debauchery on ABC.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No, nobody cares. I mean, I think you're right. And I think that's pretty clear with this thing here. The name of his book is so ridiculous, A Higher Loyalty. I mean, it's over the top. Oh, by the way, the RNC, everybody on the Republican Party, they have a website. I don't know if Betsy, you or Dave have been there, but you got to go later on and check it out. It's called lioncomey.com. Did you see that?
No, that's excellent.
The video montage
is
they have
great.
There of,
awesome.
Is it?
Dear. I mean, it makes Comey look like a real rock star with liberals for sure. I mean, because they hate him. They hated him. I mean, he's the guy that everybody hates. I mean, so I don't know what his purpose with all this was. I don't even understand where he's going to go. I want to ask you both, honestly speaking, with all the evidence out now and everything that's going on with this Comey dude, do you believe, Dave, what do you think? And Betsy, you give me both your advice. Do you think this guy's going to wear orange at some point? I mean, for real. Or do you think he gets away with it?
I really don't know anymore. All these things I used to hold as basic knowledge, I don't. Right. I honestly, he might possibly skate. How corrupt has the FBI become? How corrupt is the D.C. establishment? This guy should be already talking to his attorney behind bars in a covert setting trying to plot a defense instead of sitting there with Stephanopoulos and promoting a book. I do not understand, and I got to tell you, I'm maybe Betsy's got a better perspective.
Betsy, you think he goes to jail or what?
No, I don't. Not as long as Jeff Sessions is our attorney general. And you know,
you're not excited about him either, huh? A lot of conservatives are not excited about Sessions. Yeah.
I think he's a nice man, but I don't want a nice man for my attorney general. I want a pit bull. I don't want a Southern gentleman. And James Comey is, you know, and that's one of the reasons why he's so arrogant, because I think he knows, or at least he really believes, that he's going to face no consequences for some of the things that he did, including leaking information that he had no legal right to leak to the media through his law school buddy. It's just unbelievable. Well, but I don't think anything's going to happen to him.
It seems like he's broken a few laws himself. As you just say, Betsy, Dave, I don't think a lot of us have a lot of confidence. I really hate to even say these words that we're saying here, because he's not the only one. There's a whole lineup of people. I mean, we can come right down the list that should be wearing an orange. Anyways, we can go down that road.
Absolutely.
But we need hours more to go through that list. Starting with H.C., H.C., yeah. And who thinks she's JC, but she's not. She's HC. The H stands for Hellion.
I want her to keep talking too.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Because it just does us so much good.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I wonder if she'd take Comey out to the woods and slap him around or something, you know, is what she should do.
They could go hiking together.
I'd like to video that. If I could get a video of that, I could make a lot of money just off that video alone if they'd just invite me for that. Well, listen, I want to also give a shout out to the Bush family. Not that I was never a fan of Jeb Bush for president. I don't want to plant that seed in your minds, people. But out of respect, I always enjoyed Barbara Bush. I mean, she was an exceptional first lady. So I think a lot of our first ladies have been fantastic. And she is in pretty bad failing health. You've all been hearing today. She is in good spirits, the family says. And I always liked Barbara Bush. You guys, too? What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was a good lady.
Class act.
Yeah, she was a class. That's the right way, Dave. She was a class act. That's what I would say as well. Again, I don't always believe in the Bush family doctrine or their policies, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, I mean that doesn't mean I don't appreciate their commitment to our country and what they've done. So she is now on a comfort care, they call it, comfort care. And she has refused any other services, but she is in very bad failing health. She's 92, by the way, and they just celebrated, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think it's like 73 years, her and George, right, I believe? 73?
Yeah, remarkable. And they're when you read their story...
it's a love story.
You know, it is an absolute love story, and my heart breaks for him.
Exactly.
You know, and that they are, and again, I'm not a huge fan of the Bushes, but...
You're not
I
either,
think,
Betsy,
you know,
huh? Yeah,
politically, no, but I think either. They are... a close family, and that was one of the things I always appreciated about, President Bush, this younger, you know, he was always so proud of his parents. And
yeah, there was something classy about the family. You're so right about that. I don't discard that at all, by the way. I mean, again, we may not like their politics in some cases, but that doesn't mean we don't like we like the people, you know. Listen, I also want to mention hashtag National Volunteer Week is this week. I think it's good for us all to volunteer a little bit and do something and get out there and make the world a better place. So this is hashtag National Volunteer Week. So if you ever needed a reason to get off your lazy, good-for-nothing ass and do something for the country, this would be the week to do it in. Right, Dave?
That's correct. Right.
Now, I wasn't talking to you. I mean, at you. I was talking with you. I just want to clear that up so you don't leave the program and think, what? You know what he's going to say tonight, Betsy, to you when you're, you know, having a glass of wine or something. Was he referring to me when he said that, Betsy, do you think? No. I was talking with you, not at you. So, all right, let's do predictions here. I can't believe the hour has gone by. I wanted to talk to you about a few other things, but at least we got the main things in there. We'll have to leave Stormy for another day here in the Gentleman's Club down at West Palm Beach. And too bad, so sad, right? Another bit of the propaganda out there, along with Comey. It's like a sideshow. You know, when the Ringling Barnum Bailey Circus decided to close their tent a while ago, you know, they did it safely, being able to sleep at night, because they realized the real circus was already in play. You didn't need them anymore. We already had the circus. What the hell do we need them for, right, Dave?
Lots of clowns.
A lot of clowns here. So, Dave, let's get your predictions first, bro. Why don't you take a few seconds? Give us your predictions, buddy.
Well, I think that you brought us up earlier that, you know, we've got Trump's attorneys' offices have been raided, another bizarre stretch. And now it turns out that the courts have decided to release the fact that Sean Hannity was Cohen's third client. And now I think the public's going to, I hope that the public's finally going to get sick and tired of this sensationalizing things that are none of our business.
Well, you know, as that was trending just a bit ago here, I thought it was such a lame story. I didn't even bring it up, but you're so right, Dave, and very well said. Betsy, good. What's your prediction, Betsy? You got something better?
Two things.
You got something good to say, or just the same old rhetoric?
What? I predict that this is the last time you're going to utter the name Stormy Daniels on the air, because nobody cares what's going on with her. And I also believe that the American public's not going to be able to stomach little David Hogg too much longer. And I think this next boycott's going to blow up in his little face.
Well said. You know, Betsy, if we rewind this show back, you'll see that you're very right with what you just said. And the fact is that we left it to the very end of the program. And the fact is that we didn't lead with Comey, but we brought it up later on because it's a news item, but it's a sick news item. You're 100% correct. As well as the Stormy thing, which I just make fun of because it is so sick. Anyways, big thank you to Sergeant Betsy Smith, Dave Smith. You guys are just awesome, man. Two of the most informed cats that are married couple nonetheless at that, and they're still at it, guys. I wonder if they'll get to 73 years like the Bushes. We'll see.
Dave's really old.
Dave needs some oxygen quickly. Get him some rain real quick here.
So, I need it right now. Right?
That's it for me. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mazel off.